Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Shmendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment. Also joining our conversation from IBM is George Cruiser. So there's a perception that there's a very high ratio of noise to signal in all this data being collected. What are you doing to better extract the necessary signals from the abundant noise, and how do you raise the signal and decrease the noise?
This is an accurate perception. It's real. I talked earlier about the challenges we have with the tsunami of information, and you know, kind of the good news here is that we've been making progress. The bad news is we're making progress, and we got to go to the next level, right? Which is attacking this sort of issue of high signal to noise. We think that our best practices information integration framework that I've talked about really offers a solution here. As we move from point to point bilateral information sharing to multilateral ISE wide information sharing, you're going to have greater degrees of consistency and quality and timeliness at the data and closer to the source of data collection or production, right? So then having that improved data quality will allow you to more quickly and easily, with higher degrees of assurance, establish linkages between disparate pieces of information. You know, also by having effective enterprise-wide, enterprise here being the ISE data management sort of schemes in place, you can move away from moving big bulk data sets and move towards publishing out rules, filters, triggers closer to the edge, right? So that, you know, you can reduce the amount of information that's actually moving or the percentage of information. Clearly, the volumes are going to keep increasing, right? So, you know, it's definitely things that I think we're going to be able to, you know, help out on.
You've mentioned earlier that at the state, local, tribal levels, there's a sense of this crushing fiscal austerity being placed on them. While you didn't highlight at the federal level, but I think even at the federal level, we're seeing that there's not an endless stream of money anymore. In the face of asking employees to constantly do more with less, how do you keep your team motivated when there is all this dire financial information behind us or around us?
Well, I'll answer that question on two levels. First, internal to the office, then the extended team across the ISE. So internal to the office, you know, we have a pretty good culture that's focused on mission enablement. And the people that work at the PMISE every day, for the most part, almost exclusively are there because they believe in the mission. They want to make a difference, and they're seeing that their efforts actually do make a tangible difference across the ISE to accelerate the ISE and support the, you know, the public safety national security mission we have. So it's that mission focus that keeps people, and that's why many people come, most people come into public service to begin with, is that mission focus. And again, because of, you know, where we sit aligned with the White House, the scope of our work, you know, they're able to see a more clear line between their individual contribution and accelerating the ISE. More broadly, in the interagency, you're definitely seeing folks kind of struggling with cuts and lack of resources and a need to transform. There again, though, I think many of the folks that are working these ISE initiatives are seeing them as part of the solution, not part of the problem, in terms of moving towards shared approaches, more efficient uses of information, reducing, you know, redundancy and duplication and things like that. So again, I think it's seeing themselves as, you know, part of the solution. And I think that's critical.
Passion for the mission certainly can be a powerful draw to get the right resources into government initially. But, you know, we're seeing the skill set needed is just constantly changing. So how do you make sure that you keep a well-trained, proficient workforce going, just, you know, in light of all the changes in technology and skill set?
That's a great question. You know, early on, I talked about the structure of the office. We have an incredibly diverse workforce. It's diverse demographically, but it's diverse from a life experience perspective, professional experience. We have folks that have, you know, been career law enforcement, as well as, you know, folks that are intimately involved in budget performance integration, right, and everybody that spans in between. So we've created a culture in the office that's what I call whole of office. It really is focused on teamwork. So we don't expect individuals to come in and span the mission space, span the skill set. We expect them to you know, be able to work collaboratively in the office and then more broadly with our partners in the interagency. Now, the second part of this is that, you know, we've always put a premium on partnership and engagement with non-federal partners, federal partners, but people outside the office. So I highlighted, for example, the Standards Coordinating Council and those different organizations. Let me make a plug for folks to get involved and engaged. You know, we're very cognizant of the fact that expertise resides all through the community, much of it outside the government. And many folks want to participate in constructive solutions to the challenges I've outlined. So get involved through the different organizations I highlighted, the Object Management Group, OASIS, the IGIS Institute, which is focused on public safety, technology, and information sharing, AFEI, Open Geospatial Consortium, ACT-IAC. All of these organizations are actively involved in the Standards Coordinating Council. We're coordinating activity, but the work's happening in those different groups, right? And whether you're a federal person or whether you're a non-federal person, get engaged and help contribute, be a part of the solution.
This has been a wonderful and very informative conversation, but I'd like to transition to the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges you think your organization will face? And more importantly, how do you think you'll evolve to meet these challenges and seize these opportunities?
Well, that's a great question. It's difficult to read the future. I think what we're seeing is that we're getting traction across our efforts, across the ISE, and we're scaling up to a portfolio of activities. I go back to the buckets of the top down, bottom up, outside in. That's working. And there's a synergy between those activities. So I think that in the next year, the next 5 years, as you're laying out the timeline, that traction will become increasingly visible to folks that are increasingly at a distance, right? So if you're in the middle of it like I am, you sort of see it. You're one step removed. You see it, but, you know, is a flash in the pan or is it going to actually take root, right? So I think that's the big thing that's going to happen. Now, related to that, right, is that the fact that key to our strategy is industry engagement. Industry wants to see a broad and growing marketplace. Counterterrorism is interesting, but if it's more broad than that, it's even more interesting. If it's international, it's even more interesting. So I think our best practices frameworks taking root more broadly, well outside of our statutory mission scope, is going to be something that, you know, is already happening. But the fact that ties into industry adoption, I think, will be something that you'll see in the next years. And then that's key to scaling up. As much as we've had some success, when you look at the huge scope we have, these successes are point successes. The way we scale up is not through direct activity, but this more engaging with industry and folks being able to make their independent procurement decisions based on their own economic interests and their views of their mission and their risk and things like that.
So as we close today, what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
It's been an incredibly rewarding experience for me on a personal and professional level. I've loved my time. And as I mentioned earlier, many days I pinch myself that I get paid to do what I do. I think that it's important to develop skills, right? And the government gives you that opportunity. So if you come into the government, it's important to look at it as an opportunity to develop skills, to work in a variety of different efforts. I've been lucky in my time, or unlucky depending on the perspective, but in the government, I've been able to work government-wide initiatives almost from the beginning, right? That's a different sort of view on transformation in the government than working inside a program. So I would encourage folks that come into public service to do both, to get a feel for what their, where the sweet spot is for them and, to understand the government-wide look as well as the programmatic look.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. But most importantly, George and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you. And I have enjoyed our conversation. I've enjoyed being here. I'd like to, highlight for your listeners to, come to our website, www.isc.gov. Follow us on Twitter, @SharonProtect. Plug in via the different organizations that I talked about, government or industry. And also, if you're in the law enforcement public safety space, maybe look for me at the International Association Chiefs of Police Conference in San Diego. We're out there. We do a lot of business out at the ISCP key stakeholders. So stop me and say hi.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Shmendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment. My co-host from IBM has been George Cruiser. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, an in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.